the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. That group is called Edison Lighthouse, which is a perfect introduction to this next segment. Because on Tuesday night, Channel 9 and other PBS stations around the country are going to be running a terrific documentary about Thomas Alva Edison, arguably America's greatest ever inventor. And here is the woman who wrote and directed that documentary, Michelle Ferrari. Hi, Michelle. How are you today?
Hi. I'm well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining me. I was saying earlier in the show that I'm stunned by the fact that this man, who we all know created the electric light bulb, also created some thousand other things that he ended up patenting and kind of tossing into the world. So when you're making a documentary, how do you say, okay, we're going to do the light bulb and we're going to do these two or three others, because we only have a couple of hours here?
Well, in point of fact, he has over 1,000 patents, but they're not for 1,000 different things. Our patent system awards patents for minor improvements in any device.
Ah.
So a lot of those patents are for similar spin-off type inventions. That said, he's an extraordinarily prolific inventor, and taking on the challenge of telling his story was quite daunting. This is a man who left behind 5 million pages of documents, which a revolving group of scholars at the Thomas Edison Papers Project at Rutgers University has been working since 1978 to catalog, publish, digitize, what have you. And at the same time, he was extraordinarily famous in his lifetime. So the first full-length biography was written when he was 31. And since then, there have been 75 others. One of my interviewees recently estimated that there were well over 1 million words dedicated to the life of Thomas Edison, and I had to render that in 42 pages, which is 15,000 words.
Well, you did a very good job with it. I'm curious about one part of the electric light bulb story, which, talk about revolutionizing the world. Before that, people had to have candles or gas lamps. And as one of your narrators in the movie points out, that meant open flames in the home. And here was this new invention that not only allowed people to completely change their lifestyles, but change how everything worked in their lives. Were there other people who were doing this before Edison who were close, but he just beat them to the punch?
There were a great many people who were doing it before Edison. In fact, the very first incandescent light bulb was patented 6 years before Edison was born. But he had a very good understanding of electrical laws, and he was very tenacious, and he kept at it until he solved it, which a lot of his predecessors and contemporary competitors just didn't do. They couldn't figure out how to develop a filament that would burn for a long time without burning up.
So they could do something there, so the light would be on for maybe a couple of minutes, and then it would
exactly.
burn out?
15 seconds, 30 seconds, 2 minutes, and then it would burn out. And he was the one who figured out that you needed a combination of a carbon filament and a high vacuum bulb.
So there were other people who were doing this at a time well before the information age. How would they all find out what the other one was doing? How do you keep, in the internet age, obviously you can keep track of your competitors by setting up a Google News alert, so that anytime they do something, you know instantly. How do you do that in the late part of the 19th century?
You do a lot of patent research. In fact, when Edison undertook the challenge of the light bulb and the electrical power grid, his investors insisted that he hire someone to do research on all the work that had been done to date, so that all of that could be taken into account as he began his own research.
Did he like being famous?
I think that he enjoyed holding court. He loved to tell jokes and sort of shaggy dog stories, and I think he enjoyed interacting with people. There was a point later in his life where I think the fame maybe became a bit tiresome, but he guarded it jealously. As the film points out, at one point, his son, his namesake, was using his name. He attached it to a fraudulent homeopathic medicine company. And Edison was very aware of the value of his name and basically convinced his son to change his name for business purposes in exchange for an allowance, a weekly allowance.
He paid his son to change his name?
Yes. His namesake.
Thomas Edison Jr.?
Thomas Edison Jr.
Wow.
What did he change his name to?
Oh, my gosh. I'm gonna blank on the name of
Bob Jenkins. Johnson.
Jenkins.
Jenkins.
Wow. And by the way, you don't have to say fraudulent and homeopathic. That's
Those are some big words.
That's pretty much the same thing. But when we talk about his competitors, what about Alexander Graham Bell? I mean, we're talking about the same era, the light bulb and the phone, aren't we?
Yeah, roughly. I mean, separated by a couple of years. Bell was a great spur to Edison. Edison sort of believed that competition was necessary to be a great inventor, that it spurred people on to better discoveries and more important discoveries. And so he was sort of overjoyed to be tasked with the challenge of improving Bell's telephone. And in the process of doing so, he developed a little carbon button transmitter that improved the sound quality and the volume of Bell's phone and essentially turned it into a commercially viable device. And while he was doing that work, he invented the phonograph.
Yeah, the first person to record the human voice, Thomas Edison?
The first person to record and play back the human voice.
Oh, sure. Hitting the record button's easy. Rewinding
really
and playing.
Yeah, sure, it recorded. I can't tell you.
Yeah, anybody can make that claim. Hey, I just recorded you. Oh, yeah, prove it. Well, I can't quite prove it yet, but this guy Edison is working on the proving it part. And when that comes out, I mean, I know the legend from your documentary of him recording himself saying Mary had a little lamb, but from that point on, does the phonograph industry take off? Because here again, you have a guy who's inventing stuff that then has to create its own market, doesn't it?
Exactly, exactly. And in fact, Edison wound up putting the phonograph aside. He became entranced with the idea of electric light, and he put the phonograph aside, and he only picked it back up again when Bell and his nephew and another chemist came up with a better recording surface, and they were starting to market their phonograph, and Edison was like, nope, sorry.
That's mine. I'm the one who proved that. Remember, I played it back. I'm that guy. And so he quickly got everybody together at Menlo Park, and they came up with something better. And speaking of Menlo Park, you say in the movie that at one point when he's up and running, and he's got all these people working for him, he wanted a minor invention every 10 days and a big one every month. And he had these people in this 5,000-square-foot lab in Menlo Park and then built it out and had other buildings. Where did the money come from?
He had investors, and he had contracts with telegraph companies. You know, he began his career as an inventor for the telegraph industry, and he was constantly sort of spinning out new improvements on telegraphic devices. And so between, you know, successful patents and sales that he'd made to the telegraph industry and ongoing contracts to do research, he had a bit of capital. But he was always kind of scrambling to stay liquid.
Did money matter to him?
I think it mattered to him in the sense that he wanted to keep doing his work, but it didn't matter to him for its own sake.
Yeah. You know, in the documentary, you explain how it's one thing to invent the electric light bulb, but people can't use it unless they have electricity coming to their house. And so he was one of the first to build a distribution grid, an electric grid, if you will. And you also talk about other things he was involved in, like the first electric chair. We don't have time to get into all of these today, but I realize that this is the first time I've interviewed somebody about a subject that if their subject had not done what they did, my interviewee could not do what she does, because this guy invented the movie camera.
It's absolutely true. I mean, the thing is that I hope people take away from the film is that, you know, invention is a social process, and everybody is working from what's gone before and what's out in the ether at any given time. So although Edison did invent the movie camera in the United States, somebody else invented one in France.
Right. There were people who were ahead of him there, but he also really got it rolling here in the U.S. and built it out. And the documentary goes into details on that. A couple of other topics I got to ask you about, though, because I didn't hear any discussion of Tesla.
You're the first to ask me about Tesla. I'm so excited.
His name does not come up in the documentary. What was the relationship like there?
Well, Tesla worked for the Edison Company for a short time, and he, had ideas, as young, brilliant men do, and Edison wasn't particularly interested in pursuing those ideas, which, if you spend any time learning about Edison, is not the least bit surprising. You know, he thought he was the best inventive brain around, and that was the end of the story. So Tesla left a little bit disgruntled, and that's really the gist of the relationship between Edison and Tesla. The blogosphere kind of has a different point of view on it, but in point of fact, there really wasn't any competition. There was no stealing. Edison's competition was with Westinghouse, who bought Tesla's patents. And I sort of felt like I needed to establish this aspect of Edison's personality where he's unwilling to accept other people's ideas early in the film. And there is a story in the film where he has a colossal falling out with his best friend in life because he will not accept this guy's ideas. And that seemed to me much more meaningful than him not accepting the ideas of an underling in his organization.
When you talk about Tesla going with Westinghouse or being involved with Westinghouse, there's actually an interesting story in the film about how Edison wanted DC and Westinghouse wanted AC, and AC ended up winning.
That's correct. AC is a much more efficient means of transmitting power over long distances, and Edison's system was DC-based, which basically would have meant that there would have been a power station every mile or two. So you can imagine what the world would look like, the electrified world would look like, with a power station every couple of miles.
Not to mention that Bon Scott would have been the lead singer of DC.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got a question. Back to the Tesla thing and Edison not accepting his ideas and everything. Did Edison have a big ego and didn't want someone else to get credit?
I don't know that it's that he didn't want someone else to get credit. I think he definitely had an ego, like most very successful people. He had an ego. It was his party, and he directed the research in the lab. And he gave his trusted lieutenants a lot of leeway. He definitely took a team approach to invention. But if he didn't think something was practical, it wasn't going to get pursued in his lab.
In the 80-plus years since his death, have we had another Edison in this country?
Well, I mean, I think the people who have been involved in computers and internet in terms of transforming our lives.
You think Steve Jobs would fit in that category?
I think Steve Jobs, Bill Gates. Definitely.
That was the end of the list, though.
It's a dot, dot, dot. It's an ellipse there.
There you go. the documentary is simply called Edison. It's going to debut Tuesday night on American Experience, a terrific series that airs on PBS all across the country and Channel 9 here in St. Louis, written and directed by Michelle Ferrari. Nice job on that, and thank you so much for joining me here today.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.